I was thinking about our Sunday school lesson this morning as she was singing about that song, and I was thinking about Hosea and Gomer and how that Gomer was so unfaithful, but how Hosea went after her and loved her, and how when we're unfaithful, God's always so faithful to us. We can praise the Lord for that, can't we? Think about through the years, God's always there for us, gives us what we need, strengthens us day by day. What a Savior we have. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you'll look there with me, please, as we stand to our feet. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 14. The Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Tonight I want to preach on "For the love of Christ constraineth us." Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us. Meet with us, O Lord. You already have. Thank you for that. Thank you for your sweetness and your goodness. Thank you for how you know just exactly what we need to feel, what we need to hear. And Lord, how our hearts and lives can be moved and touched by truth given to us in words. Lord, even as we look into thy precious word tonight, I pray that this great truth that we see, Lord, will be something that moves us to do right, to live right, and to be right in all that we do and all that we say. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. As you read through the book of 2 Corinthians, you come to this portion of Scripture. And you begin to find that Paul is writing, and he's writing concerning the ministry. Those that are part of the ministry, those that are involved in the ministry, the motive of the ministry is the love of Christ. And Paul is writing under the inspiration of God about how we ought to be in our lives. Every one of us are ministers of the gospel. Every one of us are to be given to the truth of God's word. And Paul is writing here giving us the why, that we ought to be faithful to God because God is faithful to us. And the Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." And then look what it says, "that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." In other words, we're to be selfless, not selfish. We're to be living for the Lord and not for self, you know. It's always about what the Lord would have us to do. It's about doing right with our lives and being right. Bob Jones used to say the two biggest little words in the English language are the little words, "do right." He said, "Do right. Do right if the stars fall. Do right." The Bible says, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." We understand that what we know is right to do, that's what we're supposed to do. And if we don't do it, then there's sin in our lives. And as we look at this tonight, I want us to see some things. Because of the love of Christ, we should be constrained in our lives. We should be motivated in our lives to do a few things. And very quickly, very simply tonight, I want us to look at these three thoughts. We ought to be constrained, first of all, to walk right. To walk right. The Bible teaches us, number one, that we're to walk by faith. We're living in a day where people want to walk by sight, but we are to walk by faith. In this very chapter, the Bible says in verse number 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, Paul says, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." As believers tonight, we ought to be motivated by the love of Christ to walk right. The Bible says we're to walk circumspectly. The Bible says we're to walk in redeeming the time. We're not to waste time like foolish people would do. But we are to walk redeeming the time. In other words, our lives are to be given to the things of God and to the work that God has for us to do. And dear friends, as we walk by faith, God will take care of everything else that we need in our lives. As we walk right, as we do these things the way that God would have us to do, we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, so many times we're thinking about, well, I just don't see the results. I just don't see this. I just don't see that. But it doesn't matter about the results. That's all up to God. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. If it was by sight, we'd all quit tonight. But it is to be by faith. We are to walk right. We are to walk in newness of life. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 6, and verse number 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. The Bible says as Christ died, he died unto sin once, now he lives, he that liveth, liveth unto God. The Bible says that we have been planted with Christ. We have been buried with Christ in baptism. We understand this. And now we are to walk in newness of life. Once we have been saved by the grace of God, death has no more dominion over us. And we are to walk in newness of life. But a lot of Christians are like walking dead people. We're not walking right. You know? You remember the movie Zombies years ago? That's what a lot of Christians are like. You know? Where's the motivation of the love of Christ? To walk in newness of life. Every day is a new day. Every moment's a new moment. Every part of our life is a new prospect. You see, we have to realize we've been changed. There are things required of us as Christians. Like it or not, there are things required of us as Christians. And one of those things is that we are to walk by faith and in newness of life. We're to walk right. We're to do what's right. Not because our arms are twisted, but because the love of Christ motivates us. Right? Because that's what the Lord wants us to do. And if we don't do what we know is right to do, then what are we doing? Sinning? Because him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, it's sin. Is it right to walk right? Amen. Well, that's two of us that agree. Is it right to walk right? Amen. Amen. It's hard when you have to beg for an amen. We think about this. Our walk should come out of our love for Christ. And if we're constrained by the love of Christ, we will walk right. We'll walk by faith. We'll walk in newness of life. And we will walk as children of the light. Notice what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, the Bible says in verse number 8, for you were sometimes in darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Tonight I am convinced that Christians in our world and in our society thinks that we have to flirt with the world and bring as much of the world and be as much like the world if we're going to impact the world. But I am also convinced that if we're going to make a difference in this world, we have to be different. Amen. And the way that we're different is we walk right. There's never, never room for compromise when it comes to the truth of God's Word. Never room for compromise. I get so discouraged sometimes when I hear about good Bible-believing churches that allow things to creep in. I think about that scripture over in Jude where it talks about those men that crept in unawares, you know? And what's happened is we've kind of been lured to sleep, haven't we? And now we've convinced ourselves that we have to walk a little bit like the world in order to reach the world. But it is a philosophy that does not come from the Bible. It comes straight from the pit of hell. There's nothing that the devil would like more than for us to compromise with the world. Nothing. But tonight, the love of Christ ought to constrain us to walk right. Now, how far do we go with that? I don't know. I think that's where the Holy Spirit has to guide us, and we have to have discernment in our lives. But I would never be a part of a church that didn't believe these things. I'd never be a part of a church that thought we had to compromise in order to gain a crowd. And by the way, I know a lot of churches that have gained crowds, and boy, they brag about it and brag about it and brag about it. But when you see their kids out and you see their people out, they live just like the world, they act just like the world, they do everything just like the world, and there is absolutely no difference in their lives between them and somebody that's lost. There ought to be something different. That doesn't mean that you can't go out wearing a pair of blue jeans. I hope not. But it does mean that when you go out, there are certain places you shouldn't go, there are certain things you should not do, there are certain ways you should not act, and there are certain people that you should not hang around. We are to walk right. We are constrained by the love of Christ. The love of Christ ought to make such a difference in our life that we want to walk right. Not only should we walk right, we're constrained to walk right. Number two, we ought to be constrained to talk right. There is a pattern of sound words, there's no doubt about that. But the Bible teaches us that we are to walk, first of all, without covetousness. That word covetous means that we're never satisfied. But we ought to be satisfied with what God has given to us and what God has done for us. Now, we're not satisfied with everything that we've done for the Lord, but we're satisfied with God's blessings on our life. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 13, at verse number 5, this is a verse you know so very well. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. So we begin to see this. Let your conversation, that means your way of life, let it be without covetousness. So the Bible is teaching us here that our way of life, our conversation, the way that we behave ourselves is to be without this covetousness. In other words, we ought to have some satisfaction in our life because of what the love of Christ has done for us. It says to let your conversation be without covetousness. And then it says, and be content with such things as you have. Now we're living in a world where it is a materialistic society. Now, some of that materialism has kind of gone by the wayside with the economy dropping down the bottom. And people begin to realize we don't need to be going out spending and putting everything on a credit card and doing this and doing that. We need to be able to pay for what we have. Right? But we see that the Bible is helping us to understand some things here. It says, be content with such things as you have. But then notice how we can be content. In a world that's so materialistic, in a world that's so full of things, we shouldn't be out talking all the time about, boy, I wish I had this, and boy, I wish I had that, and boy, I wish this was mine, and boy, I wish I had more money, and boy, I wish I had a new car, and boy, I wish I wish. Like we're never satisfied. That's what it's talking about. Our conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. How can we be content when the world just has so many good things? There's so many good little toys and trinkets. For he hath said, the verse goes on and says, here's how you can be content. Here's how you can talk right. Here's how you can have conversation without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, Jesus hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Boy, if that doesn't motivate us to talk right. See, you say, what's the difference? Well, we ought to look and say, boy, look at what I have. Look how good God's been to me. Look how the Lord's blessed me. Look how He's taken care of my needs. And as I look around this room tonight, I don't see wealthy people, but I see people whose needs have been taken care of. Amen. And our talk ought to be an example of that to everybody that we're around. See, we ought to be constrained by the love of Christ to talk right. When we start talking about what happens, we start telling people all that God's done for us. We start talking in such a way that boy, we just can't help but brag on Jesus and let everybody know there's something different about my life. I get to talk to a few people up and down the streets here, and well, you know, you run into all kinds. And I talk to some, and they're always down because of everything, you know? And I always walk away saying, Lord, help me not be like that. Help me to have something good to say. And I do try to find good things to say. Sometimes it's hard. You know, you get down in the dumps sometimes. You let things affect you, but you just have to go on and try to have this talking right. We are to talk right. Our talk is to be without covetousness. Our talk is to be holy. In other words, it's to be wholesome and right with God. Notice what the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, if you will. We look there with me in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 15 and 16. The Bible says, But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. This kind of goes along with what we just said, but you know, my kids used to fuss at me about it because I'd say, there's certain words we just don't say. They're slang words, you know? And they're not. They're harmless in some ways, but they tend to sound like other words. I personally don't believe that, pardon me, that Christians ought to be going around saying gosh, and darn, and dang, and pardon me. There's better words in the language that we have than that. You say, boy, you're just a stickler. I'm not telling you what you can or cannot do. I'm just saying we ought to have a holy manner of conversation. It's learning to try to do it. And, you know, we all let those things happen. We all, you know, you hit your thumbnail and there's sometimes things happen. And you say something you wish you hadn't said, you know. I don't think that's still an excuse to do it. We have to understand that our talk is to be right. You say, why are you preaching this to us? Well, I don't know. Ask the Lord. You know? But I'm saying we can make a difference. You know, when I worked at Eastman, there were people that you never heard anything come out of their mouth. And people say, you know, I never hear anything foul come out of that person's mouth. They don't even use, and I've heard them say, they don't even use slang words. And it taught me something. I said, boy, I want to be like that. I want to have that kind of a testimony. The Bible says, be holy because I am holy. The Lord Jesus says that all manner of our conversation is to be holy. And we're not teaching it to our children. I go to Christian schools who absolutely have desecrated the house of God with their talk. I hear youth groups. And I want to thank God for the youth group we have. Are they perfect? No. They're breathing and they're living and they're not in heaven yet, so they're not perfect. But one day they will be. When you die, you'll be perfect. But I've been to youth groups, and you know, great, large youth groups. And you know what you see? You see that they've lowered the standards, they've loosened it up, and they've let them just do whatever they want to do, say whatever they want to say. And then you know what there always is? There's always some kind of trouble brewing. Always some kind of trouble brewing. Because they've not taught them to take the high road in their manner of life. Walking right and talking right. And we're the examples. I shouldn't expect it out of my kids if I'm not going to do it myself. And I shouldn't expect it out of our people if I'm not going to do it myself. By the way, if you want to raise your children to serve the Lord, then you have to give yourself to serving the Lord. Because they see what you do, and they know what you do, and they know how faithful you are, and they know all these things. And I want my kids to grow up serving the Lord. That's the main goal I have for my children's life, is for them to serve God. I don't care how much money they make in life. I really don't. Because if they serve God, God's going to take care of every need they have. Oh, may the Lord help us. Walking right and talking right in front of my children. That's important. They hear me get mad every now and then. They correct me too. I tell them it's not their job, but they let me know that I shouldn't say certain things, you know. And we ought to talk right without covetousness. We ought to talk right. We ought to be holy. And we ought to talk right in view of His coming. Da-da-da. in view of His coming. Now, the Lord Jesus is coming. Did you know that?
Amen.
Amen? Amen. I want you to notice what the Bible says in chapter number 3 of 2 Peter, verse 11 and 12. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. The Bible says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons you ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." We ought to be walking right and talking right and realizing that our manner of conversation, our manner of life, our way of living, our way of walking, our way of talking ought to be affected by the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. My wife told me today, she said, "You know, we don't have many days left to do the job that God's given us to do. Not many days left." How many days do you have? How long are we going to live? When's Jesus going to return? When's it going to happen? Could He come tonight? Could He come tonight? Well, if He comes tonight, are you walking right? Are you talking right? Are we doing with our life what God would have us to do? Are we walking circumspectly? Are we walking the way that God would have us to walk? Are we talking in a way that's pleasing without covetousness? Are we talking with a holy talk? Are we talking realizing that Jesus may come? And I really believe that that means that we're telling people that they better trust Christ as Savior. Because the day is coming when this world's going to be destroyed and Jesus is going to return and judgment's going to come down in this world. And if they don't get their hearts right with God, they're going to die and go to a devil's hell. We must be talking right. But I can get up and talk till I'm blue in the face. But if you don't love Jesus enough, and I don't love Jesus enough, we won't do what we ought to do. For the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ. We ought to walk right. We ought to talk right. And if our walk is right and our talk is right, I believe we'll balk right. You say, "What in the world does that mean?" If you play baseball, you've heard that word balk before. You ever done a balk before, Matt? I know you have. I was there. I didn't think you did, but they said you did. I remember that. But before the baseball term balk, it really means to stop as at an obstacle and refuse to proceed and refuse to do something that's specified. When you're walking right and talking right, you'll be balking right. You'll refuse to give in. You'll refuse to let the things of the world influence you. We don't have the biggest church in town, but we're trying to have the right kind of church. There's some good churches around. I'm not here to put judgment on any other place. But I'm saying to you this tonight. I wouldn't want to be a part of any church that gives in to the ways of the world. I wouldn't want that. I don't think you would want that for the most part. I can't look at everybody. My mom and dad told me growing up, they told me time and time and time again, "Son, you just got to learn when to walk away sometimes." And you realize that there's times to walk away, to balk, if you will. There are times you just got to refuse to give in. There are times you've just got to learn to say no. And you do it because the love of Christ is moving you to do it. I've never said no to somebody just because I wanted to show who I was or how great I was. I've said no to people before, though, because I knew that the Spirit of God wouldn't allow me to do these things. Does that make sense? It It's balking at things. Balking and not giving in. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 6, verse number 11, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, and our heart is enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Here's how. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, from all these ungodly things, these worldly things. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's where walking right and talking right leads us to balk right. When we see what the Bible has to say about separation, about being a separated Christian, there is a lifestyle that God would have every one of us that name His name to live. And that lifestyle is a separated lifestyle. Because that's what thus saith the Word of God. We all have our convictions. We all may have a little bit of a difference in opinions as to how far this goes. But I think every one of us understands that we're not to yoke up with things of this world. We're not to hold hands with the things of this world. By the way, things like what's going on today, I appreciate that the Catholics are protesting against the president speaking there because of his stance on abortion. You understand what I'm saying? But I would not yoke up with them to protest. Because that's what the Bible teaches me I'm not to do. You see? We have to take the Bible at its word. And when we do, we will balk at some things. And we'll walk away from some things. We will stop as at an obstacle and refuse to proceed and say, I'm not going that way. Why? Because the love of Christ is motivating me to not go that way. The love of Christ constraineth us. And I'm not living for myself. I'm living for Him who died and rose again. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. But that we which live should henceforth not live unto themselves, but live unto Him which died for them and rose again. And that's where we have to be. If we're going to be what God wants us to be and live the kind of life that God wants us to live, it's going to be about living for Jesus, a life that is true, trying to please Him in all that we do. Yielding allegiance to the Lord is what we need tonight, and not yielding allegiance to the world. And so as we think about these things, what is the love of Christ motivating us to do? Because whatever He's motivating us to do, it's right. And what we know is right, if we do not do it, then it becomes sin. And it's that simple, isn't it? The Bible's clear. It's not gray. It's black and white. It's clear. God doesn't mince words with anything. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And God help us to balk at things that would bring Christ down. balk at things, music that would bring Christ down. You know how I feel about music. I've said so much about it. We've let this contemporary Christian music destroy our churches. Gospel rock. You say, well, I don't agree with you on that. Well, you go look at the lifestyles of life. And by the way, a lot of these Southern gospel music, they're no better. Go look at the lifestyle of these people. See what's going on. They had a purpose when they started this contemporary Christian music, and it wasn't all pure. Many of them couldn't make it in the rock music field, but they made it in the contemporary Christian music field, and they got their fame and they got their fortune, and some of them moved on from the contemporary Christian music into the pop music. And now they kind of go back and forth. Now you tell me, is God pleased with that? Okay, we won't go any further into that one. God would help us to balk. God help us to balk at an unholy life and an unhonorable walk and an unhonorable talk. So tonight, let me ask you this question. Are you constrained to do right? Is the Lord Jesus Christ, is He squeezing your heart and your life to do that which is right? To walk right? To talk right? And yes, to even balk right? Do you not see that we have but one life to live? Sometimes you have one moment in time to accomplish what God has for you to accomplish. One moment in time. And if we're not walking right and talking right and balking right at that moment in time, it can affect the rest of our days. And dear friends, you don't want that to happen. Some of you, maybe you've given in to some things of the world, and you know, your convictions really don't, you don't like certain things, but you've just kind of allowed it to go on, allowed it to go on, allowed it to move. Why don't you pray that the Holy Spirit of God would help you to move away from those things? To walk right, to talk right, and to balk right. The love of Christ, as you begin to do these things, the love of Christ will move you to higher heights than you've ever known. I think it'd be a good name for a church, Greater Heights Baptist Church, because God has greater heights for us than we've ever known. It seems that sometimes we stay down here at the lower level when God has greater things than what we really even think that He has. As a matter of fact, the Bible says He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Think about that. As high as you can possibly imagine, as great as you can possibly imagine of things that God has for us and has for us to do, even greater than that, He's got things that are exceeding abundantly above all that. I've tried to give my life to the Lord. Gave Him my soul, my heart. Tried to give my life, but it's a daily death if I'm really going to do it. I have to die to self. And I have to let things not affect me negatively if I'm going to live for the Lord. I have to die. I have to die. And if I die to self, I'll walk right, I'll talk right, and I'll balk right. But if I'm not walking right, and I'm not talking right, and I'm not balking right, you know what I'm doing? I'm living for self. I'm not living for Him who died for me and rose again. I'm living for self. When my life becomes about me and not about Him, when it's about self and not about the Savior, then the love of Christ is not moving me. I'm trying to move myself. May God help us. Father, we love You. And we thank You for Your love for us. Lord, help us to live for Thee a life that is true. Help us to strive to please You in all that we do. Help us to yield that allegiance, glad-hearted and free. Oh, Lord, tonight. May we be constrained by the love of Christ to go on for Thee. May we make a determination that we're going to walk right because of Your love, that we're going to talk right because of Your love, and that we're going to balk right because of Your love. Lord, we'll thank You for what's accomplished because of Your word. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.
218.
Hymn number 218.